Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Thursday, and it's the 19th of May, recording at 7:02 p.m. That's British Summer Time. Now, first the highlights. This impressive global stock market rally continues. Now, it's not as impressive as the sell-off that preceded the stock market rally. And some indices have lagged way, way behind. But what is also clear from the charts is that every stock market index, with the exception of Venezuela, which has some special problems, has seen a loss of downside momentum. And some of them have staged some quite good rallies, and that would include some of the European indices, such as the SMI, UK market, another good rally, and therefore some considerable inroads have been made in that overhead supply that was established really in that February, March, and April period. Now, will stock markets have enough oomph to push up through the highs? So far, among the developed markets that I've seen, only Finland has actually done that, and that market's dominated by Nokia, which has been very strong of late. But others are within striking distance of their highs. And then, of course, there were a few that just never went down. Sri Lanka and Israel were two that spring to mind. There weren't many more than that. Now, whether they're going to break up through those levels or not, of course, is that $64,000 question that everybody's wondering about. My hunch is that they're going to run into trouble. And we are getting overbought on a short-term basis, but that's not to say that markets couldn't consolidate and then push higher. But I think on balance, given the technical deterioration that we saw, given the seasonal factors that we've mentioned, before, given the interest rates outlook and so on, my hunch is that stock markets are unlikely to score any meaningful gains above the highs that we saw earlier in the year during the duration of the year. But needless to say, with every day that the rally goes on, that moves further from a previous majority view into an increasing minority view. That may be a contrarian indicator overall as well. But I'm not as sure as I was. I said that yesterday. I mean, how could I be? Because this rally has really been quite vigorous on some days and for some markets. Now, probably the best performer here today, and it is one that had lagged and then been closed on a holiday, was the Japanese stock market, and the Nikkei 225 then caught up 2.25 points here, and that was 241 points on the Nikkei. Now the Tokyo second section, I'm just going to put that up again. That was interesting. Remember that had the downward dynamic, and which had occurred earlier in the week, and then it had another big downside hit. That looks like that was on Tuesday. So Monday and Tuesday was hit really quite hard. Well, today we had a small upward dynamic, but this really has to get back above 3,600 to indicate that it's going to have a meaningful run at the high. If I bet on anything surprising on the upside, I think that the Tokyo second section would be one of my certainly one of my candidates. Now, I mentioned that level, and you're not seeing the chart right in front of you, but of course you have got the chart in the first section of the subscribers library. So have a look at that. I'm referring to the candlestick chart here right now, but suffice it to say it's in a trading range. Overall, the question about whether stock markets were going to trend downward for a number of months, which was one of the possibilities that I had aired, or whether they were going to see lots of ranging, but with a lower bias more often than not, which is the other scenario I described, with some of the key factors being how bond markets were holding up and also what the oil price did. Well, so far, that evidence from both the bond markets and the oil price has heavily favored the firmer markets or the ranging markets, albeit with a downward bias rather than the declining ones. Now, some of these factors could change in here. I think people are becoming really a bit complacent about bond markets right now. They were cautious at the beginning of the rally, and then confidence gradually goes. This is typical as any rally progresses. And people become quite complacent in the latter stages. So we're now getting some big fat extrapolations of the decline in long-dated yields that people think might actually occur. Well, I don't buy into that argument, and I think that's suggesting that these government bonds have probably run too far here. I've been surprised by how far they have gone up, as plenty of other people, but that doesn't mean that they're going to keep on going up, and fundamentally, I think they're not well, they're out there in space. Okay, in terms of how to play these stock markets here right now, I'm doing nothing but not enjoying the additional rally in some of my short positions, but enjoying the recovery rallies that I'm seeing in some of the positions that I have in my self-administered pension and ISA funds, and I'm not tempted to lift either leg, either the shorts or to take out any of those profits at this stage. The positions that I do have and that I do feel that I would sell given another strong move that looked unsustainable in what I think is a generally hostile environment. I'm talking about positions in Thailand, that Aberdeen New Thai fund. I'm talking about India. That's my favorite market above all for the very long term, and it's done mighty well over the medium term. And there I've got the J.P. Morgan Fleming Investment Trust. As some of you will know, I've got some positions in Japan. I've got a duff spec in the Nikkei future, but fortunately that became a little less duff in here today, and I could easily envisage that pattern improving further, but it's all within an overall base formation. But having seen a plunge down well back into the base formation, it wouldn't be surprising to see a move back closer to the upper side of the region, although I don't expect the Nikkei or TOPIX to be breaking up out or completing their base formations anytime soon. But I do like Japan on a long-term basis. All the problems, I think, and the big question marks are overhanging what happens here over the next few months, and I maintain that it's a period that will be dominated by risks rather than great opportunities. And those opportunities, such as they are, I say, suggest that the bigger ones might be on the downside than on the upside for traders, of course. Now, in terms of other markets, that dollar rally, well, remember the dollar wobbled yesterday. There were actually some tiny key day reversals shown, but they were microscopic, too small to be. To be of significance, because those of you who know what the key day reversal is will know that it's one of those counter trend dynamic signals that makes even the economists sit up and ask what's going on here. It just rattles confidence, shakes people out of their complacency, gets them to reassess. Reassessment can quickly equal reversal. But it has to be a big move so that people who don't look at charts know that something has changed dramatically on that day. And that certainly wasn't the case yesterday. And we do have a firmer dollar here today, so I'm regretting having taken the small profit in my US dollar long against the yen, albeit for the second time around. because that's up 50 cents in here today. And that means, so that firmer dollar has also weighed on the precious metals where I have exposure. It did not affect platinum all that much. That's continued to rally up another $4.50 in here today, but it did weigh on silver, which is my big position, so that is of some concern. Currently at 7:15 on the July contract, which is still open. So if we see this dollar rally, and I cannot say, as I've said for weeks, I cannot say that the dollar rally is over, and I can say that this pattern can support an additional rally into overhead supply. And if it looks like that's going to happen again, then I will need to open up some more dollar long positions, which I would do in the yen. I will not chop my silver out against the background of that possibility of a further dollar rally I'm talking about. I will not chop the silver position out, but I'll be more cautious on my buying of silver, and I would want to hedge again, because so far that hedging has worked out really rather well. I think I put on the first hedge when silver was around current levels or slightly higher, and I've been able to take a couple of profits out of that, and silver's still at the same level. So that's fine, but there is a remaining risk. If the dollar continues to rally, there is a risk that silver gets a bungee jump on the downside, and I would hate to be unhedged against that eventuality. Okay, and if we did get that move on the downside, I would be adding to my silver position, which is moderate sized at this stage. I have had much bigger silver positions previously, but it's a moderate sized position. And I would, as I say, I would add to it in the event of a bungee jump, because one, it's one of those supply and elasticity trades. I maintain that there's a secular bull market underway in the silver market, and I think that while the dollar could rally further in the short to medium term, as I've said, that eventually we will see it go back and retest those lows. In all probability, the dollar's bottoming and topping out process is usually a matter of months and even years, rather than a few weeks. Many months and even years, even a few years. So, that's my view on the silver, and I think that gold would move in a similar fashion, although not be anywhere near as volatile as silver, which is just a high beta version of gold. Industrial metals, I allowed that copper position to expire here today. Not hard to see why if you look at the charts in the subscribers library. And I've got a lead position that will be expiring next week if I don't pull it out a little bit sooner. That was the one metal that was up on the day, although not a great deal, the one industrial metal that was up on the day. Oil prices, still no evidence that this slide is over. That's going to require an upward dynamic. And silver is barely steady here, up 15 cents at 47.40 on the spot rate. Also, we've got a contango, of course, and we're not going to see silver retest its highs up around that, got up around that 59 level, didn't it, 57? We're not going to see it go up and retest those highs, let alone break above them, without a backwardation, and that will require another shortage of nearby refined oil, and that is just not the case at this time. So that's a wrap. Have an excellent evening, or good morning to those of you in other parts of the world.